Welcome to the Vintage Church NOLA podcast. Vintage Church is a multi-church, multi-city movement of truth, love, and community. For information, visit vintagechurchmovement.com. Here is this week's message.
Good morning, Vintage. Pastor Brick, glad to be here this morning. Merry Christmas, Happy Advent. A couple things to start as we start. One, in this time, we actually are lighting each Sunday, including Christmas Eve, gathering a candle. So today, if this thing will light, we are lighting the peace candle. Okay, last week was hope. This week is peace. That's going to come a little bit in our message this morning. Also, we are together collectively as a church reciting a creed. And so if you would like to look in front of you, if you didn't bring it back from last week, there should be one of these right in front of you. I want to invite everybody to stand with me, and we're going to recite this creed together. Also, the words are on the screen. It says, "We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. Through him all things were made. For us, for our salvation, he came down from heaven, he became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made human. He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will never end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. He proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified. He spoke through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We affirm one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead and to the life in the world to come. Amen." You may be seated. The series Home for Christmas is this idea that all of us are trying to get home in some sense this year. And true home for us involves, getting there actually involves Jesus. It was only possible through Jesus and his coming for us to get home. And so this season, this Advent season as a church, we are focused specifically on the work and the person of Jesus Christ. There's this short phrase that we have that we've been looking at. It's that Jesus was a humble servant and a divine king. Last week, Pastor Dustin kicked it off talking about the humility of Jesus. I'm the servant piece today. And then next week, the next 2 weeks, we'll look at this idea of him being a divine king. This morning, we're going to be in Galatians 4. And so I want to invite you, if you have a Bible, to open there to Galatians 4. We're going to look at that. First, though, before we continue much on, I just want to pause and say, does our facility not look the best it ever has for Christmas, right? An amazing environment. Yes, so I got to get a few shout-outs. One is to our arts pastor, Pastor Mark Anthony. Okay, this is his brainchild along with our creative team, particularly Miss Paige. So can we give them a hand for making this fire? They I heard came last night and started stoking. It's been stoking all night just so it looks so pretty for you all this morning. And then we also had some people also help us decorate the whole outside. So John and Jackie, Miss Llewellyn, thank you so much. Our fireplace was made by a wood worker in our church named Ronnie. And so thank you guys so much for doing that. This environment's incredible. I hope it helps you have a better Christmas. Now, as we start this morning, I want to start with an opening question. And I want to see if any of you have ever had this thought like I have often. If I was God, I would have done it differently. Has anyone ever had that thought, that question? Can't lie, you're in church, okay? I have that often, okay? And so when I think about it in relation to Jesus coming, I say, you know, if I was God, I would have picked a better birthplace. I would have picked maybe the best of palaces in all the world to be born in, right? If I was God, I would have picked a better family, one that had maybe international recognition to make my entrance into the world and into human history. If I was God, I honestly would pick a more spectacular entry and not a feeding trough. I would have picked the grandest of grand, maybe a huge parade that would have made international news. If I was God, I might have even picked a different role to come and do. Now, be honest, what about you? When you think about God, what would you have done better than God? I want you to think about that because our text this morning is pretty interesting, and even this role of Jesus as a servant is pretty interesting. A lot of us would probably say, if we were God, we wouldn't have done it that way. Thankfully, though, God is God. I'm not. And I want you to know that God's timing was the right timing. Jesus came exactly as he should, when he should, and how he should. So I want to invite you to read now and us to think about that idea. Galatians 4, we're only going to read 4 and 5 to start out with. It says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons." The first point this morning that we see right out of this text, really this first verse of 4, is that Jesus, our servant, came. It is one of the most succinct passages about the incarnation of Jesus. Jesus, our servant, came. And in verse 4, there's really three things I want to pull out for you. One is this idea of the fullness of time, or maybe your translation says at just the right time. Now, we talked about this week as staff was preparing for this. There is a lot of thoughts on when Jesus came in that time. And there's a truth that there was, at that time, peace across all the Roman world. It was a great time for Jesus to come. There was this common language that the gospel could have transferred through so well. The Romans were way better than New Orleans. They had roads that were paved really nicely. And so the gospel could travel so much better than we even can in our own city. But the reality is this, is that this word, time here, means it was the appointed moment. So if you want to say, why did God come when he came, right? It's because he said, now's the time. Go, Jesus, right? The reality is that this is what Paul is saying, is that Jesus came at just the right time, at just the appointed time. I often think, why did Jesus not come today? There's TikTok and Twitter and all national media. Everybody would see Jesus if he came, right? But Paul tells us that the time was now. God decided now's the time. And Jesus stepped and came into human history. Even Jesus, as he begins his ministry in Mark, he says, the time is fulfilled. And maybe we still struggle with that this morning, because if any of us this morning are maybe in a place of suffering, you're a place of waiting for something, maybe you're in some type of bondage, and even those people those days, right, in Jesus' time, right, would have said, God, it seems like you're coming a little late. After 400-something years of silence, so we haven't heard from you. We're waiting. We're slaves to Rome, right? We're not free, right? You're waiting, and it seems late. And I want you to know this morning, I think Paul assures us that when Jesus came was just right, because it was God's timing. And he goes on to sort of give these two sort of phrases that help us understand the incarnation that was summarized, okay? One, Jesus came born of a woman. This is solidarity with the human race. Jesus came as a human, right? That's really important for what he's about to do in salvation through his life, is he had to be a human. He had to face the things that we have the temptations and the struggles and even the potential of sinning in order that he could be the perfect sacrifice for us. Secondly, though, he also, as Paul says, he was born under the law. This is solidarity with the Israel nation. He was born under the Torah. And so to be a possible savior, he's got to hit that law perfectly, right? And that's what Paul is saying here. And so Jesus, our servant, came. Let's go back and let's read now the entire passage. It says, "But when the fullness of time had come, Jesus sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you were sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." Not just did Jesus come as a servant, but Jesus' service provides two things that I want you to understand this morning. That's freedom and adoption. That comes in 5a and 5b. Jesus' service provides freedom and adoption. These are two purpose statements in some sense of what Jesus' service did for us. Aren't we all, when we were kids, fascinated with human, superhuman abilities? Anybody have a favorite superhero they still watch today? I know some of you adults, the Marvel galaxies, and the Marvel galaxy can't transfer into the X-Men galaxy. I don't understand it all. But as kids, show my boys, this is the phase that we're in, the superhuman phase, right? Superheroes are a big thing in my house. Everything has a mask, has a cape. We're making things epic battles to get things done. Even Isaac, my littlest three-year-old, everything to throw in the trash is a Hulk smash, right? That's how we trash things. That's just this phase. And what's really cool right now as a dad is I am still in their eyes, and I've only got a few years left of this, a superhero. It's so cool. Love it. This year, I was able, as a superhuman, as a superhero, to pull the Christmas tree off the car, to carry it into the house and set it on the tree stand. Wow, right? We did a lot of hurricane disaster relief. We took clear a lot of debris, and I was a superhuman in all the amount of stuff I could carry to a wheelbarrow to the curb, right? And you know, now we go to parks, and my football spiral is like superhuman. It is way better than Tom Brady's right now, right? To my boys, right? And that's just sort of the phase that we're in. And if we're honest, we're all sort of enthralled with this idea of superhuman and superheroes, right? Our Christian faith story is actually way better than any of your favorite superhero stories, because our superhero, Jesus, actually truly came and rescued us. I want to read this morning from the Jesus Storybook Bible. This is an incredible commentary for all of us to read, no matter your age. It's read a lot in my house, and the passage that sort of displays for all of us Isaiah and his prophecies. If you don't know, Isaiah was hundreds of years before Jesus, and there was a lot of things he said hundreds of years before Jesus was going to come that actually a lot of people were waiting on, and even today we can look at and reflect on. Maybe this week you want to go read Isaiah 53, the idea of a suffering servant. But here is Operation No More Tears, is what it says. Now, God let Isaiah know a secret. God was going to mend his broken world. He showed Isaiah his secret rescue plan, Operation No More Tears. Dear little flock, you're all wandering away from me like sheep in an open field. You've always been running away from me, and now you're lost. You can't find your way back, but I can't stop loving you. I will come to find you, so I am sending you a shepherd to look after you and love you, to carry you home to me. Yes, someone is going to come and rescue you, but he won't be who anyone expects. He will be a king, but he will not live in a palace. He won't have lots of money. He will be poor. He will be a servant, but this king will heal the whole world. He will be a hero. He will fight for his people and rescue them from their enemies, but he won't have big armies. And he won't fight with swords. He will make everything the way it's always meant to be. But people will hate him, and they will listen. They won't listen to him. And he will be like a lamb. He will suffer and die. It's the secret rescue plan I've made before the beginning of the world. It's the only way to get back to you. Yes, the rescuer will come. Look for him. Watch for him. Wait for him. He will come, I promise. If you need to, here's the pictures. Right? Isn't that amazing? And yes, it's a great way to read that in a kid's version, to think about that, to go back to that childlike superhuman, that there were hundreds and hundreds of years before we ever existed, and thousands and thousands of years since then, that people have been sitting and reflecting and waiting on this Jesus to come. And it wasn't that he came as a superhero, right? He came as a suffering servant, as Isaiah predicted. And this original advent, this original crew of people who were waiting, what amazing joy it came when the servant came. See, when we read the Bible, there's lots of stories in the Bible, and I think even in our own lives today where we're all trying to find our own way, our own means and ways in which to save ourselves, right? There's this idea if we can just find the latest tips and tricks that we can then find some type of freedom or find some type of redemption in our life, right? There's this way that we can just be better, right? Or we can find some great self-discipline and we'll get free from that thing, right? There's stories in the Bible that there were these really good families that tried really, really hard, and they tried to give the best sacrifices. If we just consistently sacrifice the right things the way that God said in Leviticus, then we will have freedom. Today, as parents, if we're the best parents we can be and we put our kids in the best schools, right, then we'll have perfect lives and perfect families and we'll not have any of that stuff that we need to be freed from, right? But who would have believed that God would have chose to save the world through a humble servant and not some glorious king or some glorious kingdom, earthly kingdom, or Superman or Wonder Woman? And yet, that's what God did. The plan, you see, the great rescue plan for no tears in your life, for freedom, real true freedom in your life, did involve Jesus. It did involve Jesus coming, and Jesus ultimately came in order to die. And so that's what we celebrate with Easter, right? He goes to the cross, and that death on the cross, right, takes on all of our sins, covers those, he steps in our place to take that sin in order that God could then offer us redemption and freedom. Our invitation, even today, is that we can be freed. Yes, first salvifically, from our sins, what we've done against God, to have true salvation. But even as Christians, in some areas, there's still areas that we walk in slavery or in chains or shackled to something, that freedom is still offered to us in this season as well. Only if we would just believe, repent, trust in what Jesus did, and be baptized. And so I want you to see that that's what Jesus is doing. His service this morning, first you have to see is that freedom is offered to every one of us. Redemption. You can be redeemed from your sins. You can be freed of those things that are holding you back right now, that are challenging you right now, that you're struggling right now. Freedom is an offering that Jesus gives to you in this season. He was our servant, and his service provides our freedom. Second, though, his service provides adoption. Now, adoption is relationship, okay? So if freedom, that's this idea, maybe what that gives in us as we think about that this morning is praise and gratitude and joy. Adoption is different. What Paul's saying here, I think, is that it's this idea of this invitation to closeness, to an identity, a new identity, to a new family. Adoption could be defined in this way. It's the process through which someone outside of a blood family comes into being a son or a daughter. Now, in the Roman world in which Paul is writing, this practice was very widespread. This was a huge thing in Paul's context. Pretty much, adoption meant that you would pick a child and all the legal rights and all the inheritance and all the father's property would go to that son. There wasn't second-class sons, first and second sons. There was all the inheritance given to you. And the people of Paul, that Paul's writing to in Galatians, would have understood this because one of the most famous adoption stories happened in their time of existence in Julius Caesar picking an heir for the Roman Empire in that of Augustus, right? Julius Caesar has no heir, so he goes out and selects someone, adopts him in. All the rights of Caesar and Caesar's empire and Caesar's kingdom is bestowed upon Augustus. And that's the idea of adoption. When I thought about this week, I thought about a family that I joined when I was in college. One of the best connections I can think of you to give you about adoption is University of Tennessee. I'm a huge Vol fan. There we go. Look at that. That is glorious. The cathedral of all cathedrals. Now, when I was 5 or 6, I planned to run through that tee as a punter. That was my plan. And soon, very soon, a few years after, I was not making the kicks I needed to make. I discovered that pretty soon, that I was challenged in some of those kind of ways. And so I began to go back to the game plan because I wanted to be on that field, and I found out the next best thing was that tee, okay? And I did get to go march at the University of Tennessee. I'm actually in this picture. This is when we beat Florida my sophomore year, 110,000 fans, and I'm at the top of the tee right there. Got to march in the band. Now, I share that to say because you might not know, but in most SEC contexts, the band and the football players share the same rights. Think for a moment. Because I was a band member, I got full field access at Neyland. I got to be on the field, got to be a part of the game. It was incredible. We actually both traveled, and we were fed extensively. You would not believe the spreads before us as band people and us as football players, right? And then we both also, at times, when we would travel, would have the same hotel accommodations, right? There was the Tennessee Hotel, and the band and the players, we were all in it together, right? So cool. And then one time when we went to the Cotton Bowl my sophomore year, our teams got to hang together. We got to go to Medieval Times, got to bowl together. As a guy who was a huge fan, it's pretty cool to get to bowl with some of the players. But I share that to say that I was adopted into the University of Tennessee's family, right? And just like a player who has great ability, right, me as a band member had the same type of access, had the same types of rights, had the same types of thousands and thousands and thousands on any given Saturday of fans standing there cheering for us. It meant something that I was a part of the band. It meant something when I put that uniform on. Now, as we think about adoption, what Paul is saying here is different in the sense of this idea of just a legal right being transferred. What Paul is trying to pull out that I would point you to is that Paul's focus is more of the covenantal narrative of God and your relationship. That's why he begins to bring in this idea of sons and this family relationship. A commentary says this: as adopted children of God, we share with Jesus all the rights to God's resources. We claim what he has provided for us, our full identity as his children. Now, this year and in the next few years, we've been walking through the Exodus story. Do you know, as we've read, have you noticed as we've read that the Exodus story is actually, in fact, an adoption story? God is pulling out a people for himself. God is pulling out a people to give them the title of being people of God. Right? Adoption is one of those stories that is fascinating. And I would say this morning, as we think about what Jesus did for us, is that it's not just you got freedom, right? It's not just that God provided freedom, but it's that God adopts you into his family. God invites you into this relationship. See, a lot of us, when we think about being a servant or service, we would probably no doubt say, if someone's in need, I would definitely help them. And if there's a great need, I would go to great lengths to do whatever I could to serve that person. But we often don't think that in part of being a servant, we would bring that person into our family, adopting them and giving them the same rights that my sons and daughter have. But that's in fact exactly what God did for us in Jesus. You are adopted. You have been chosen. You have been loved greatly at the cost of even Jesus giving his life for you. You've been invited into a family, a new family. I don't know what your family was, whether you grew up with your birth family, but you've got a new family, God's family. You've been loved. Whatever your past says, you have a new identity in that family. God says, this is who a child of God is. This is who my chosen people are. Here's what the inheritance, here's your identity as my children. That's what you have through the adoption. And so to summarize, Jesus, our servant, came. And Jesus' service provided our freedom, that is redemption. And Jesus' service also provided our adoption, that's relationship. In closing, I want you to go back and look at 6 through 7. And I want us to really, as we close today, think about this idea of the relationship. This week, the blogs will talk more about ways that Jesus served and how we can be servants like him. I think this morning, I want to push us towards focusing on the relationship that we have. I want you to think about that for a minute. Verse 7 in the New Living Translation says this: now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, everything he has belongs to you. What's interesting in verse 7 is that Paul has been speaking in you plural the entire time. Y'all, right? Y'all, right? 7, though, is a huge shift in Galatians, because what he's saying here is a very personal thing to every single one of you as well, right? Now, you. Yes, you. You, Mark. You, Craig. You, Jesse. You, Christy. You, Montre. Everyone, we can put our name here. Jesus is saying, or God, Paul is saying, you are no longer a slave, but God's child. You have everything he has belongs to you. And it goes on to use this word, Abba. The translation here is that of daddy. We think about it as this infancy word, right, that's sort of the first words that a kid learns, or mommy or daddy. But it's actually a word of great intimacy. There's a sense in which even the Jewish context that this was a phrase, a word used for high relational intimacy. It conveyed honor and respect. Jesus, the night before going to the cross for our sins, actually in the garden says what? Abba, Father, right? It's this term of just great, great intimacy, of connection, of relationship. And I want, as we transition, as the band comes forward, as we get ready to respond, I want to encourage us in that. It's simply to focus in on our adoption as God's child. The inheritance that we get is actually Him. The access that we get is actually to His presence in our life that can be a real thing this Christmas season. We get the comfort and the care that God provides can actually be really felt personally in our lives this Christmas season. And so, obviously, all of us have had challenging year, fall, last 2 years have all been challenging. May I invite you into this Christmas season, this idea of peace that we've been looking at from this day of Advent today, that we have His presence in our life, that we can be comforted, that we can experience great care, that our hurts can be healed, that our needs can be met this Christmas season, that our struggles and maybe our questions, that God wants to do a work, you and Him, right? And that's the invitation. You are adopted. You've been freed of sin, but you've also been adopted into a family and into a relationship. There's three reflection questions that I want to put up. Maybe you want to write these down, and this week you want to take some time to think through those. The first one is this: Are you God's child through faith in Jesus? Have you been actually redeemed? Have you believed and trusted and repented? Do you need to be baptized to communicate that you are a child of God through faith? Secondly, how could you connect more closely with God this week? Thirdly, where's God's Spirit leading you to converse and serve? Invite everybody just to bow your heads. And I don't know every single person's situation, past, questions, hurts, what's going on right now. But I can tell you this, God does. And God's your Father. He's a good Father. He's a loving Father. And yes, this Christmas season is about a lot of things, and there's probably a busyness like crazy and so many things, but let us not leave this morning, particularly, without taking a moment just to experience Him, His presence, His comfort, His care for your hurts, for your suffering, those needs you have, He wants to provide for those. And so maybe you want to take a moment and just in your heart express that. Maybe you need to write something. Maybe you need to sort of think about how you're going to this week get more connected closely with God and taking a few moments to center yourself with Him, to be in His presence, to be with Him through His Word, through prayer, through meditation, through reflection. Think about that for a moment. Father, as we come out of studying your word and enter into a time that we want to facilitate collectively for every individual to experience you, we first thank you that in your great wisdom and timing and plans, chose to send a humble servant who lived as a human, who fulfilled the law, and then died in our place. And so this morning, Lord, I pray for those that are struggling that they would know that they are free, that freedom is a legitimate option, an opportunity, an invitation that you offer them this morning. They've been redeemed. Let them know that this morning. Lord, for those struggling in their relationship with you, there are questions, there are people hurting, there are some needs and some suffering happening right now. And we thank you that it's not just about freedom, but it's about a relationship. And that you invite us into this closeness of a daddy to step in and to cry to you, to pause and let your Spirit work healing and comfort and care. For those, Lord, that need to be healed, we pray for that. For those that need to be cared for in this season, we pray that your Spirit would do that. For those that are questioning or hurting or just need to weep for a while in your arms as their Father, Lord, we pray that you would lead them to that. We thank you that you have given us that space. You have given us that access to a creator, loving, holy God that we can be in relationship with. We can be so close in relationship. And so now, Lord, start what will hopefully be a week of being in connection with you and being closely connected to you, and that you speak and that you heal and that you love and that you care for. We are adopted and we are loved, and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.